Edwards, the coffee with the extra flavor lift, brings you Night Editor.
Now, let's play the second lead out from the police department. Come on, boy. Hello, sit in there.
Night Editor with Hal Burdick telling us another of his famous stories from the newsroom. Tonight, a yarn that brings back that old favorite, Adrian P. Covington, and a mystery story titled, Pass the Peanuts.
Adrian laid one big hand on the young ranchman's shoulder.
Ah, you sit tight now, son. The little fool clues are beginning to show up. I want to have a talk with this Dr. Smith and his wife who didn't go to the dance last night. And then... then I'm going to town and buy me some of those good assorted nut meats.
Well, phones are ringing, teletypes chattering, and presses roaring, and the morning bulldog edition of the big metropolitan newspaper has been put to bed. At last, the night editor has a chance for a brief breathing spell, and Hal is heading down the corridor to the little kitchen off the home economics department. Just as he enters the home economics department, in comes a little...
Just in time, boss. Coffee's on.
Well, good, Bobby. Good.
There you are. Carefully made, steaming hot.
And Edwards, I take it, from the jar on the table, which makes it unanimous.
Ah, boy. Yeah, I can use that, Bobby.
I saw you leaving the office earlier tonight. Thought maybe you were sneaking out for coffee without me.
No. No, I wanted to get to that little nut store down the street before it closed and buy a box of assorted nut meats to send a friend of mine. Someone you've heard about, in fact. Adrian P. Covington.
You mean the Adrian P. Covington?
Yeah.
The man mountain detective of Jennifer County?
That's right, Bobby. I send him a box every once in a while. Sort of a standing joke between us. Going back to one of his experiences.
Look, Hal, if this is an Adrian story you've never told me, give out with it. Come on, right now.
Well, it's an Adrian story, Bobby. Happened a number of years ago on Gil Lyman's Dude Ranch up in Jennifer County. Adrian was away from the county seat when the report of a jewel robbery at Gil's ranch came in early that morning. It was after lunch when he finally arrived at the Deluxe Cabin bungalow, occupied by a Mrs. Charing, a dowager-like woman, and her daughter. Two sheriff's deputies had been there since before daylight working on the case, but a tall man, somewhere in his middle 30s and identified as Albert Thomas, Mrs. Charing's nephew, seemed to be in charge. There's really nothing for you chaps to do. He leaned heavily on a cane, obviously protecting a bandaged ankle. I've telephoned the Western office of the insurance company. They're sending an experienced investigator to take charge. Adrian rolled mentally with that verbal jab and came up smiling.
That's a good idea, Mr. Thomas. Yeah. Still, as a county detective, I have to know the facts. Gil, suppose you tell me.
The young ranch owner made it brief. The night before, there'd been a dance at the main lodge. Unwisely, perhaps, Mrs. Charing chose to wear a diamond and sapphire bracelet and matching earrings. She returned to the cabin a little ahead of her daughter. Hearing her daughter come in a few minutes later, she left her bedroom and crossed the living room to the daughter's bedroom to chat a minute before retiring, leaving the jewels on a vanity in her room. She was with her daughter not more than 5 minutes. When she returned to her own room, the bracelet and earrings were gone. Gil's face was drawn with lack of sleep and worry. We've checked the whereabouts of every guest and ranch hand on the place at that hour, Adrian, and they're all in the clear. Most of them were in the main lodge, a few of them in their cabins. Dr. and Mrs. Smith, an elderly couple, were asleep. Mr. Thomas here had been in his cabin all evening because of his injured ankle.
How'd you hurt it, Mr. Thomas?
Out fishing, stepped on a rock, twisted it.
That can be mighty painful. Yep. I recollect once when I was...
That's quite unimportant. We have a thief to catch. To Adrian, the words were thinly coated with ice. Obviously, some outsider knew about the jewels. He stood by the window, watching to see where my aunt kept them, planning to get them when she was asleep. When she went out of the room, it was only a matter of a moment to step over the low sill, get them, and be on his way. There are no footprints or clues of any sort.
Oh, sure, Mr. Thomas. Yeah, there's always clues, and mostly some fool little thing you'd never think was important. Let's have a look around.
For the next half hour, Adrian's big bulk moved heavily around the rooms. He asked questions, roamed outside the cabin, even some distance along the paths. Finally, he came back to the living room.
Yeah, this looks like a tough one to crack. Maybe your experienced investigator will have more luck.
Now his eyes centered on a bowl of assorted nut meats on a coffee table.
Say, those look good. Where'd you get them?
The daughter answered, her voice a trifle chilly. I got them in town yesterday when I drove in to get the bandaging for my cousin's ankle. Does it matter? Adrian picked up the bowl.
Mr. Chang?
No, thank you. I never eat them.
You, miss?
Neither do I.
Well, you mind if I help myself? I'm mighty fond of them.
Look, old chap, the nephew broke in. Why don't you take the bowl and find yourself a shady spot and sit down quietly and spend the afternoon eating them?
Well, now, by gollies, I could come pretty near doing it.
He poked around among the nut meats for a moment, then asked quickly,
"Who'd you have for visitors last evening?"
No one. Not from the time my daughter got home, just before the dinner hour. He stood there looking down at the nut bowl, giving it an almost studied scrutiny. Finally, he helped himself to a generous handful and looked up, smiling.
Well, guess there's nothing more I can do for you folks. I'll leave the deputies here to work with the insurance investigator when he arrives. If there's anything more I can do, you let me know.
As Gil Lyman followed the big detective outside, Adrian laid one hand on his shoulder.
Sit tight, Gil. The little fool things are beginning to show up.
Well, where are you going now, Adrian?
I want to have a little talk with this Dr. Smith and his wife, who didn't go to the dance last night. And then,
he pulled one eye into a knowing wink,
then I'm going to go to town and get me some of those good nut meats.
It was late afternoon when Adrian returned, carrying a sizable cardboard box. He invited himself to have dinner at Gil's table, then ambled off in the direction of the kitchen lodge. Gil was aware of the detective's intense interest later as groups of people took their places at surrounding tables. When all the dinner guests had been seated for several minutes, Adrian suddenly pushed back, saying,
I'm leaving you, Gil. There's one in the cabins I want to have a little look at while everybody's at dinner, but later meet me up at Mrs. Chern's and bring her and the daughter and the nephew along with you.
The nephew's voice was chill with irony when they assembled later in the cabin.
Well, I suppose you're going to tell us that, you've solved the crime.
Well, no, not quite, but maybe I'm getting warm. I'd like to tell you my theory.
He picked out another nut meat or two, nibbled on them.
Yeah. Now, first off, the way the robbery was done, it hit me this morning. No thief would be fool enough to stand outside that front window casing the job where other folks strolling home from the dance might see him, including the daughter who'd come along later.
Well, quite remarkable.
Yeah, ain't it, though? Likewise, he couldn't have come in the front door whilst Mrs. Charon was in her daughter's room, because she was sitting where she'd seen him. Only one other answer. Fellow must have been hiding in the house before she got home. Maybe in that little luggage closet yonder. Figuring to wait till Mrs. Charon was sound asleep and then sneak into her room and get the sparklers. But he has run a luck. She went into her daughter's room to chat, and whilst she's there, in he sneaks and gets them. And later, while they're back in Mrs. Chern's room all excited looking for the jewels, he leaves by way of the side window in the daughter's room. What's more, I figure he was no outsider, but somebody right here on the place. Well, whilst I'm reaching that conclusion, I run onto one of those fool little things that tells me he probably was in here waiting for some time before she got home. Came in earlier when everybody was at the dance and he wouldn't be seen.
Yes, I suppose he left a cigar stub lying around.
Again, the nephew's voice was icy.
No. No, he was too smart for that. weren't you?
Every eye in the room followed Adrian's gaze to the nephew's face. They saw it redden, then go starkly pale.
And just what do you mean by that, my fat friend?
Wouldn't object to us searching your person, would you?
The answering laugh was supercilious.
Oh, well, of course not. Search all you like. Would you care to have me go in the other room and undress?
Nope. No, just like to have a look at that twisted ankle.
Thomas was on his feet, backing away. Don't you dare touch my ankle, you clumsy oaf. Get away from me. There was fear in his face now. He raised the cane threateningly, but the deputies had him to the shoulders and were pushing him back into the chair while Gil moved in to help hold him. Now Adrian's big fingers were tearing at the bandage, unwrapping it as he went on.
Been interested in that ankle ever since I found out you insisted on binding it up yourself when Dr. Smith offered to do it for you.
Fold after fold came loose while the others held the struggling man. Then sharp exclamations as pinned deep within the wrappings, the sparkling jewels came into view.
Quite a swelling, ain't it? Yeah, not a bad idea to fake a twisted ankle to fix a doggone near perfect hiding place. Hit me all of a sudden when me and the boys were searching his cabin during the dinner hour.
But, Elbert... Mrs. Charing's voice was choked with amazement. Why?
Why would you do such a thing?
Reckon I can answer that, Miss Chern, based on a couple of long-distance phone calls made this afternoon. Your nephew needed big money to cover some gambling debts.
Over the nephew's shrill protest, Gil's voice demanded, "But whatever made you suspect him, Adrian?"
"Oh, number of things, Gil. But mostly..."
His eyes led their attention to the coffee table.
"Mostly that bowl and nut meats."
"Well, you mean to say you found a clue in that, Adrian?"
"Well, as you might say. And notice this morning, they'd been pretty well nibbled at. Though neither of the ladies liked them, and there'd been no guests in the cabin. That bore out my theory. The thief was hiding in here for some time, and not daring to smoke, helped himself to the nut bowl. Then, poking around among them, I discovered something else that caused me to set a little trap to test my ideas. Same being, with the help of the head waitress, to have a bowl of nut meats put on each table at dinner tonight. When this fella just poked round in the bowl on his table and pushed him aside without hardly touching him, well, I was pretty middling sure I had him.
But I still don't get it, Adrian. Adrian's face took on a solemn St. Bernardish look.
Fellow who sat here last night had one human frailty that I have, Gil, as I found out when I started to help myself out of that bowl this afternoon. Put a dish of assorted nuts in front of me, and I'll poke around among them till I've picked out all the cashews and almonds and toasted pecans and such, and let the peanuts go. Which same this scoundrel did last night, leaving none for me when I come along.
But the trap, Adrian. Adrian's face was lighted by an owlish grin.
Bowl on his table tonight had nothing but peanuts in it. When he couldn't find his favorites, he lost interest, which pretty well convinced me he was the crook I was a-looking for.
He paused for dramatic effect. Then,
now, ain't that the darndest fool little clue you ever did hear of?
Speaking of being particular and picking out the choicest things to enjoy, if you'll take home some rich, roaster-fresh Edwards coffee from your grocer's tomorrow, you'll discover that Edwards gives you a delightful extra flavor lift. Why? Well, because Edwards is still processed in small batches, the slow, painstaking, time-tested way. For example, the fine Central and South American coffee beans used in Edwards are actually selected for size, shape, and color to make sure they meet the strict Edwards standards. Then, every pound of rich Edwards coffee is carefully and expertly blended by flavor instead of by weight under the personal supervision of Mr. Dwight Edwards himself. But that's not all. Edwards is thermally roasted to bring out the full, natural coffee flavor and ground only at the store when you buy to assure absolute freshness. Try Edwards coffee for an extra flavor lift. Your money refunded if you don't thoroughly enjoy it. Edwards coffee is featured at all Safeway stores. Well, Hal, we'll be looking forward to hearing from Adrian again someday. But for now, how about next week's yarn?
Kathleen Donovan didn't know that Big Con Dara had a passenger in his highway truck the night he stopped at her service station high on the mountain road. A passenger wanted by the police and ready to shoot his way out of a tight corner. But she did know something was wrong, and she reacted in a surprising way. It's titled Schedule Subject to Change, a story in which romance plays an important part. I hope you'll all be with us in the newsroom next week for the telling of it. Good night.
Be sure to listen next week at this same time when Hal Burdick brings us another of his famous newsroom yarns. This is Bill Baldwin saying good night for Edwards Coffee.